Father of mercy and grace, it's time for your Spirit to move through your word. Allow this sinful man to speak those words that are necessary for your people here gathered to be encouraged in their faith and to know that all good things come from above. For we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So listen, you heard the children's message, and you know that the basic theme for today is how God continues to provide for us. The basic necessities of life, whether they be water, food, clothing, shelter, we know are absolutely indispensable for life. If you talk to a theologian or if you talk to pastors who are involved in a meeting or something like that, they're going to say these are first article needs. That's first article of the Apostles' Creed, right? God is the maker of heaven and earth and our creator and maker as well. And he places us in the middle of that creation and sustains it. So through the creation, God blesses us, gives us what we need, whether it be nourishment, whether it be shelter, so that we can live our lives peacefully. So acknowledging that fact, many years ago, Luther wrote this about that. I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all limbs and senses, reason and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property, along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. Luther's take on the fact that we are created beings living in a creation that God himself put together. It's always been that way from the very, very beginning. When Adam and Eve were formed and placed in the Garden of Eden, they were to live from the Garden of Eden. Today, we're going to see God's providing love for us through the amazing ministry of one of the really more mysterious figures in Scripture, the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah appears seemingly out of nowhere. He comes from an obscure village without much introduction and almost no fanfare. He appeared suddenly as a counterpoint to an evil king and queen that had arisen to lead Israel, Ahab and his queen Jezebel. Ahab, the king, did so much that was wrong, so much evil, that the Bible actually says this about him in the previous chapter, 1 Kings 16. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So we're dealing with a personality here that is really an offense to God in all that he does and says in his leadership of the kingdom. So God sends Elijah to confront Ahab. That's his job. That's what he appears to do. And his very first recorded act is he goes to Ahab and he tells him that God is going to send a drought upon the land. There's going to be no rain, no dew, no moisture. And as a result, food and water and the basic necessities of life are going to become scarce for everybody, including Elijah. In the reading today, though, we see how God provided for Elijah in this absolutely amazing and incredible way. So God tells him, Elijah, go out and hang out by this brook called Kereth. And so Elijah goes there. And you know what God does to feed him? Birds. He sends ravens to take bread to him in the morning and meat in the morning and in the evening. And God says to him, drink out of the brook. And so Elijah was sustained for a long period of time. It says, until the brook dried up. And then God says to him, go to Zarephath, a little village again, obscure village. And there you're going to find a widow who's going to take care of you. And so Elijah goes there. This widow, Elijah found gathering some sticks to build a fire. And Elijah calls to her and says, can you give me some water? She says, okay, gives him some water. And he says, bring me something to eat as well. And she says, you know, as the Lord knows, I have nothing. In fact, I have just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And I'm fixing to prepare a meal. And after this meal, my son and I are going to prepare ourselves to die because there's nothing else. The drought had devastated the land and the area. Elijah says to her, don't worry. Prepare this meal for me, and God will sustain you. And sure enough, it says that the oil didn't run out, the flour didn't run out. She was able to continue to feed herself and her family for a long period of time, it says. And then a tragedy happens. The son of the widow dies, and of course Elijah mourns. And he calls to God and says, God, why have you brought this tragedy upon this poor widow, the one that has been sustaining me, the one that you sent me to? And so Elijah says, bring life back to him. And so in a weird way, Elijah lies on the boy, and maybe his warmth and the Lord working through that brought life back to the little boy, and he returns the boy back to the widow, and the widow says, now I know that you're a prophet of the living God. So God is glorified in all of that. In all of this, what we see is that provision comes from God. There's absolutely no question about that in this story. God sent the birds. God sent the unending supply of oil and flour for the widow. And God even provided the life for the young man. And indeed, God has promised that he will provide for our needs. I know that life sometimes just doesn't seem fair, in that some seem to have so much and others seem to have so little. Sometimes it's due to the way that folks live, maybe way out of line with God's intended will. Sometimes it's due to greed, people who collect and amass without care for others. But God is aware of our need and promises to meet it when we seek his kingdom first. In fact, this is what Jesus said to folks that were concerned about where their next meal was coming from. It's in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this to the folks that are gathered there. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God provides in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes that provision comes from people and places that we don't expect. So let me share something that happened to me a couple of days ago. So I had this hankering for tacos. I mean, I really wanted tacos. So I went to this little taqueria in Dallas. And it was kind of a little bit later in the day. And I had four tacos. And when I stepped out, a homeless man came up to me. He was about 22 to 25 years old. It was clear that the man had a drinking problem as well, because you could kind of smell it on him. And he asked for money. And I said, well, listen, what are you going to use the money for? He said, well, I'm hungry. I'm going to get some food here. I said, well, why don't you come in with me, and I'll buy you some food. And he said, they won't let me in there. You know, I've tried before, but they just won't let me in there. So I said, not even if you buy a meal? He said, no. So I said, well, listen, let me go in there and check things out. So I talked to the proprietor, and he said, no, he's one of the guys that hangs out here, and the customers really complain when he comes into this place because he doesn't bathe, and sometimes he's a little bit disruptive, and, you know, so we don't like for him to come in, but every now and again we'll give him something to eat. I said, well, how about if you sell me some tacos right now, and let me give them to him? And so he did, and then he threw in a Coke on his own. So I took the bag out to the young man. His name is Marcus. And Marcus said, thank you very much. God bless you. He sat on the sidewalk right there and ate his tacos and drank his Coke. It's amazing to me how Marcus wasn't expecting anybody to come by to feed him, and yet somehow God provided for him, even though maybe he's walking apart from God. Doesn't he do that for us as well? ORLC has recently been experiencing some challenges in the area of provision. Expenses are not hugely out of order, but what had been planned on the offering side has been under-raised quite substantially. And because of this, I've had a number of conversations with folks who are really, really concerned and worried, on the one hand. And on the other hand, I've had conversations with folks who say, just trust God. So both extremes have been expressed to me as we contemplate this. Well, I want to tell you that we do have to pay attention to stuff. We do have to pay attention to the things that are happening in the church if we want to be able to continue the ministry the way that it is. So what I want to do right now as part of this sermon is to invite the vice president of the congregation, Mr. Reichel, to come forward and to share a little bit of this situation with the congregation at large. So Bob, can you come forward and continue the message for us, please?
Thank you, Pastor. Is this on?
She's saying to hold it from here.
That better? That better? No? That's better. Don't think I've ever been part of a sermon before. The Lord does indeed work in mysterious ways. The focus of today's sermon blends nicely into what I alerted you to last week. I'd like to update you briefly on the financial situation. The numbers through August are worse than they were through July, which I noted last week. Through July, we spent $59,000 more than we've received. Through August, we've spent $73,000 more than we've received. Through August, which is 67% of the year, two-thirds of the year, our expenses are 71% of budget. Some of that is seasonal, and some of it is a couple pieces we have to correct, so I'm not too terribly worried about that. But again, through two-thirds of the year, our income is 60% of budget. And offering envelopes, regular contributions, which are the substantial part of the budget, are 56% of budget. And when you take out a couple of special contributions, we're basically at 50% of budget through two-thirds of the year. Friends, we have a contribution issue, and a serious contribution issue. Our undedicated funds through the end of August are 71%, which is 51% of what they were at the start of last year. We're chewing up cash, quite frankly. Now, we've initiated several actions, and we have some more ideas. One action plan is an announcement today of a matching gift challenge. We've done that before, as you remember, and we're going to do that again. I've got a letter, which I'll distribute at the end of the service. The ushers will help me with that, which gives you some more information, including some of the figures I've shared with you, as well as some of the actions that are planned. Please take a copy and please give some serious thought and some prayer to this situation. One other side note real quickly, Pastor. Joe Ojeda, the president, because of the pressures he's got from work and other assorted things, has resigned the presidency. So for better or for worse, you got me. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. So indeed, that was a little bit of a surprise. We received an I saw the email late yesterday afternoon about Joe tendering his resignation from the board of directors. So that makes Bob, I introduced him incorrectly. That makes Bob the president now instead of the vice president. So listen, it can be scary when you're facing situations like this. I want to tell you that even personally, in my own family, we're experiencing some of these scary moments. Because of the situation with Sophie's parents and having to have a place here and a place in the Rio Grande Valley, the extra expenses associated with caring for more people, we're strained. So listen, personally, I understand what corporately we're going through together as a congregation. But do you know something? We can be sure that God is with us through this challenge. We can be absolutely, positively sure about this. And do you know why? Jesus. Do you know how we can be sure that if we are personally facing scarcity or need, that God is also with us in those personal challenges? Jesus. Right now, my family, I told you, is sharing some difficulties. But, you know, I think it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. Do you know why? Tell me. Absolutely. You know what? The scriptures talk to that. Talk to the fact that Jesus is with us all the time. The writer of Romans says it in a way that's very succinct and beautiful. Paul writes, "What then shall we say to these things?" That is the troubles and the challenges that we face in life. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Really, think about it. If Jesus went through all that suffering, if Jesus went to the cross and bled and died for us, and he did, and went to the grave, rose from the dead, called us into the kingdom through the word and baptism and the Holy Spirit, sustains us in that faith through this table and through his word. Do you think that God has done all that just for fun? He's done that at a huge price and promises to keep us in the kingdom now and for eternity. So there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not scarcity, and not angels or demons or anything else in all of creation. Because of, tell me again, Jesus. Absolutely. We're in the best of hands. Jesus is. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, I love Jesus, and I want you to love Jesus as well. In his name, amen. We pray. Father of mercy and Father of grace, you have loved us with an everlasting love. You've created us and placed us in the broader creation, and through that you sustain us. Allow us not to fear, but allow us to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, that we may trust in your providing hand now and always. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.